All right. How's everybody doing today? I hope everybody is having a wonderful, wonderful week. Again, this is Fred Hodges. I am the Director of Multicultural Student Services here at Robert Morris University, and I would like to welcome each and every last one of you to Beyond a Different World. Beyond a Different World, again, if you're just listening for the first time, Beyond a Different World is that bridge that connects us all, that bridge that brings us all together and definitely connects the gaps. And so, just like always, what I would do is I'm going to open it up with a little word of encouragement. And this week, our quote of the week is by George Locus, and that is, always remember your focus determines your reality. And in terms of what that means is, you gotta, if you have a goal in mind and you have a vision, please keep in mind that your focus is what's gonna determine whether or not that focus and that goal is gonna be succeeded. And if you fail, always remember, there is a lesson behind that. Fail stands for first attempt in learning, and no stands for the next opportunity, and impossible spells I am possible. So I hope everybody is listening in, and I hope everybody is having a wonderful week. So first, before we announce our guests for this week, I wanted to let everybody know that on November 3rd in Hopwood Auditorium, join the premiere of Bringing the Blues to RMU. This is a live event featuring the Queen of Blues, Jill West, and Blues Attack, along with a screening, three documentary profiles of Pittsburgh blues legends Eugene Morgan, Bill Weiner, and Jill West, produced by RMU Media Arts students. This tribute to the blues is sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania and the Academic Media Center, and of course, RMU Radio. That's Bringing the Blues to RMU. And again, that would be Friday, November 3rd, 5 p.m. in Hopwood Auditorium, right here from Robert Morris University. And just to let everybody know, admission is free. So what I'm going to do for us right now is I'm going to play a little snippet of the commercial for this event.
On November 3rd in Hopwood Auditorium, Robert Morris University, join me, Don Luisi, for Bringing the Blues to RMU. This is a live event featuring Pittsburgh's Queen of the Blues, Jill West, and Blues Attack. With a screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg, three short documentary profiles of Pittsburgh blues legends Eugene Morgan, Bill Weiner, and Jill West. This tribute to the blues is sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania, the Academic Media Center, and RMU Radio. That's Bringing the Blues to RMU. Friday, November 3rd at 5 p.m., Hopwood Auditorium, Robert Morris University. Admission is free to the public.
Awesome, awesome. And that was a little commercial for Bringing the Blues to RMU. I hope that everybody can attend. And again, that will be Friday, November 3rd, and admission is free. And that will be at 5 p.m., so hope to see you all there. So, moving forward, we have our guest for this week, Mr. Steven, who is a leader in Chi Alpha. He is a leader in Chi Alpha. And Steven, first tell everybody hello.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
Hope everybody is doing well, as Steven has said. And then tell everybody what it is that you know you do with Chi Alpha.
Yeah. All right, so my name is Steven. I have been working with Chi Alpha since the beginning of this year. Then I took a short break, and about 3 years ago is when I started working on campus. Mm. And there's a few reasons like why I got involved. Chi Alpha is one of the campus ministries here, and it's something that I've always been passionate about because as long as I can remember, I'm from Moon Township here, and Chi Alpha has had an impact on my life in some way.
Okay.
So my church was closely connected with Chi Alpha. So a lot of the RMU students who went to Chi Alpha would help at my youth group, and then they would come to they would come to Moon High School and they would help with some of our events that we had at our different clubs, our Youth for Christ events. We hosted dodgeball tournaments that we actually had at John Jay. And just it was packed with Robert Morris students who wanted to see, you know, this younger generation, who wanted to see people who, you know, weren't too much younger than them, but the students still knew they were going to have some impact on these high schoolers' lives. And I was like, you know, that's pretty neat. You know, these, I'm sure college students are pretty busy. You know, they've they have this newfound freedom away from home. And here they are, you know, helping these high school students, helping middle school students. And one of my first youth pastors was actually a Chi Alpha student and a Robert Morris graduate. So that's just kind of why I really wanted to get connected, want to continue, you know, pushing Chi Alpha forward. We've seen, you know, shifts in how many people we've had and how many people, you know, we've been able to work with and reach. And it's just exciting to be part of it, that I'm able to hopefully bring it back, you know, hopefully, and just with some of my co-leaders, you know, turn it into, you know, as crowded as it once was.
Okay. Nice. So do you let us know, like, the kind of feeling that you get with helping individuals, especially the youth?
Okay, that's something that has been instilled in me in a long time. My dad's a pastor, and he's worked with Robert Morris a lot, and him, and well, my mom, too, is just some of the most hospitable people that I know. And it's just, you know, always been spoken into me, you know, you have to, you know, be helping people. You have to be, you know, lifting people up.
Right.
As long with that's just, you know, a deep ideological and spiritual thing, you know, that's been part of my upbringing. And my dad, you know, pushed me, you know, his son, as soon as you can go on a missions trip, go on a missions trip. So when I was 16, I went to Peru. When I was 17, I went to Peru. I found myself in India twice. And, you know, it was just amazing to be around, you know, these people because, you know, us, you know, we're in America. We have it all. We have you know, all these things. So we're like, you know, I'm going to go to this. I'm going to go to South America. I'm going to go to Asia. And I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then halfway through it, you realize they're doing more to you than you are to them. You know, so it's so humbling, you know, seeing this, whether it be suffering or joy. You know, you see these people, they don't have a lot, and they're, you know, they're still able to, you know, smile at each other. You see more unity there than, you know, you have been in America, you know, the past several years. And they're just able to, you know, pick their heads up and just really embody, you know, some of the, you know, you're all about motivation here and positivity, and you see that just ingrained so far into their lives and just so contagious, and you just want to keep doing it, you know?
Most definitely, most definitely. Wow, so talk about your experience in India, if you don't mind.
Oh, man, yeah, okay. So that, anytime, you know, people ask about my my Christian walk or my my spiritual walk, I can't talk about it without talking about India. And my senior year in high school, I had an opportunity to go, again, something, you know, my dad was really pushing on me. And I was only there for 2 weeks the first time, and I was just able to make some connections, meet some people, you know, and just kind of build a foundation for what led to a second trip in the summer of 2012. So I was there for a few months, and I was invited back by some of the missionaries there. And I was, you know, this is cool because for once it's my first trip I'm going on where I'm the only American going. You know, there's other times I was surrounded by, you know, people who look like me, people who spoke the same language as me. But then, you know, I was the only person, you know, in my group on that flight who was, you know, a white American, you know, heading towards India. And from day one, it was just trial after trial. It was difficult. I was tired. We were working with construction. One of the big things that I've become quite passionate about that we were working with there was sex trafficking prevention. And that's, you know, both heartbreaking and I guess, you know, rewarding in ways of being able to speak into the lives of so many of these people.
Right.
And we were working in some of the villages that up to 90% of the girls are sent into prostitution and sex trafficking. They're sent by their fathers because it's the only income they have.
Wow.
You know, it's all they know. So we were there, you know, we were speaking the word of God to them. We were, some of the girls in the village learned how to make jewelry, and they were teaching the young girls how to make jewelry. One of the guys I was working with, he was a soccer coach in Europe, so he was able to come, you know, coach soccer. I had some rugby experience, you know, I was just messing around with the kids, showing them what a rugby ball even looked like, you know, and we were just, you know, tackling each other and just having a good time. And, you know, once you build this relationship with them, then you're able to start speaking truth. And, you know, they're more receptive to, you know, what does this person have to hear? Who, at once, I wasn't able to relate to this person.
Right.
But now that, you know, we're playing soccer, we're playing rugby, you know, we're hanging out, we're making crafts together. Now I want to talk to this person. Now I want to open up to this person. So you see tragedy because if you're there for a long period of time, you become close with some of the little kids. You know, these adorable, you know, 5 to 12-year-olds. And as soon as they turn 12, if you're a girl, you're most likely going to the bigger cities.
Mm.
And soon we saw some of those girls, you know, being taken away, feeling like, you know, we're completely hopeless. You know, we can't do anything about it. But that's, you know, something you just got to keep your head up. You got to keep on praying. You got to stay positive and keep on speaking to the lives of them. Because, you know, times you just want to give up. And I was only there for a couple months. You know, there have been missionaries there who have been there for years and years who've seen this go on. But, you know, there's progress being made, there's stuff going on. And when it was all said and done, like I said, one of the most trying experiences of my life. I saw a lot of suffering. I experienced, you know, a lot of heartache. But then at the same time, deep down, you get this hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you see this evil. You see all this corruption that's going on in the world. And then you turn around and you see one of the kids give you a smile.
Wow.
And you see a kid, you know, dancing or playing, you know, like there's no tomorrow, because, you know, they're just happy, full of joy. And that's what keeps you going. And even when I come back here, when I'm in the monotony of, you know, every day, whether it be 9 to 5, you know, just, you know, kind of boring, whatever it feels like, you know, there's no huge, real big struggles. You think about them and you think, okay, this is a reason to get up in the morning. I have a lot of people to prove wrong today. I have a lot of enemies I have to face today.
Mm.
You know, so even though it does take, you know, it is a burden in some ways, at the same time, it's a huge blessing, you know, to be able to, I guess, have the privilege of seeing heartbreak.
Mm. Wow. I always tell people you learn best in uncomfortable situations. And sometimes I get people who look at me with the "what are you talking about" face, mm-hmm. and it honestly, it amazes me, because there have been heartache and uncomfortable situations of which, you know, I took part in, and I learned from that. Do you feel as though that statement is true? Like, you learn best in uncomfortable situations?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Today, our society, we're all about convenience, you know, and if it's inconvenient, then it's un-American, or, you know, it's not today. And we look at inconvenience as, and being uncomfortable, as something to be solved, not something to grow from.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we see something uncomfortable and it's like, how can I change the situation? How can I make myself, you know, more relaxed in this? You know, can I find, you know, a place that's safer, that, you know, makes me feel, you know, cuddly, that more people will agree with me. But you go somewhere where people are going against you. People are protesting against what you're saying.
Mm.
You're standing up in front of people giving a message. You're asked to do a podcast somewhere. You know, so these are all things that are going to push you and stretch you, just like any kind of exercise, or physical work. You're not going to grow unless there's some pain, unless it's being uncomfortable in some way. So yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you.
Okay. No, most definitely. And honestly, it amazes me how, you know, sometimes we have a lot of individuals with such a closed mind. You know, our minds are like parachutes, and you learn best when it's open. And I know you mentioned a lot about, you know, the protest and how we are divided as a country, and where you're seeing more things, more unification in different countries, and then you come back home, and you have so much division, and you have so many individuals that are not as open-minded as everybody else. And you have social media, which is a complete toxic place. You know, you have like this huge thing of negativity, and this huge area of negativity, and you have just a little sprinkle of positivity that is in there. And you have individuals who are living lives of who they're not.
Right.
You know, what is your take on, you know, coming back home and you have all this division?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely hard for me, you know, to look at and swallow as well, because, you know, I'm right there with them. I'm guilty of all these things.
Okay.
You know, and looking at these things, and it just seems like it. And, you know, I know this for me as well. I'm going to find something to complain about.
Mm.
You know, you can give me everything, and I'm going to find something wrong with it. I'm going to, you know, find some way to, you know, to be unhappy in some way. And that's something that I've been working on. Same with people as well. You know, I meet somebody new, and at first, you know, I'd be so quick to, you know, think of their flaws and be like,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm never going to hang out with this person again because this and this and this and this. And then when a close friend, you know, kind of pointed out that if I go into a situation or a conversation with somebody and I have low expectations, I'm hurting myself and I'm hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
If I go into a situation with high expectations, and for whatever reason, I'm let down, I'm backstabbed in some way, I'm only hurting myself, and you know, I'm still protecting them and expecting a lot from that person. So hopefully they'll rise to that occasion in some okay. ways. So I've been trying, you know, to look at every single person. I can learn something from them. They have something to share with me, something to give me. But something that stuck out a while ago is I was watching a video of a little kid who got the wrong color iPhone for Christmas, and they were crying, and you know, they weren't happy with it. This person was maybe 10 years old, and you know, I didn't get my first flip phone until I was 15 or 16, and they were, you know, not having it at all. And you know, it was like brand new iPhone and just a different color, not the one they wanted. And it just kind of stuck out to me. Does this person feel like they deserve that color iPhone more than, say, you know, a starving child in Africa feels like they deserve food? Because, you know, when the media and through different places I have been, when you see a hungry person, when you see a thirsty person or somebody who's cold or poor, they're not crying, you know, they're not, you know, shouting out. They see the situation they're in. They know that it's not right. And but it's never like, I deserve this. This is something that I deserve. It's they look at the world as a whole and see the world is a broken place, and we all need to work together to achieve, you know, something that is and something that should be. So that's kind of a lot of like my worldview, my stance as one of the campus ministries leaders here is, like you said, we'll find, you know, one grain of positivity in an entire sea of negativity. And lots of times that positivity will catch on a lot more than that negativity. Like, you just picture like a small light lighting up an entire dark room. And that, you know, that's what we're looking for. And that's kind of what Chi Alpha is about as well. You know, there's lots of great initiatives that Robert Morris, you know, helping with, like you were saying, toxic social media, protests going on. And we just want Chi Alpha to be, you know, a place on campus that is a light, that is able, you know, if people, you know, are dealing with some struggles or going through some stuff, then Chi Alpha is a place where they can go kind of feel safe and, you know, just hear a strong, powerful message, what they need to hear, kind of go out and try to spread that positivity and try to spread that love to the rest of campus and then to the work fields and then to the country and then to the world.
You nice. Know,
just, yeah, keep on growing like that.
It's kind of like, when I think of like those zombie apocalypse movies where you have like the one red dot and then that spreads and becomes 2, 3, 4, eventually it's all over the map.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's kind of like this thing where I keep a positive mindset towards there may be a little progress, but a little progress is better than no progress at all. And I can literally talk into a room full of people, but however, if I changed one life, my job is done. Because that one life can change another and can change another. You know, as Gandhi once said, you know, be the change that you wish to see in this world. And I want to be that change. I want to be that little light of positivity, as you mentioned, that little light of positivity. And that's what Chi Alpha does. You know, Chi Alpha is that little light of positivity. And it's really good for, you know, our students to have a safe place,
right?
Have somewhere where they can go, where they can, one, express themselves, two, vent if they have to. Because it's never safe to hold things in. It's kind of like a soda bottle, you know, where, you know, you if it's sealed and you shake it up and you open it, it's going to explode. And, you know, there's a lot of individuals that is carrying a lot with them, inside of them. And they have these personas where they're hiding a lot, you know. So I definitely feel as though that's awesome. It's a great place. It's a great place. I know you mentioned a bit about the protests. So what are your views on the current protests that we have, like, you know, facing the NFL and the national anthem? Like, what do you think about that?
Right. That's something that definitely has been sweeping the news. You see all kinds of stuff. The Pittsburgh Steelers even kind of stood out a couple weeks ago when they didn't even appear for it, except for... do you remember his name?
Villanova?
Yeah, Villanova. Yeah, Alejandro. Yeah. And so even that became, you know, kind of, you know, a spark thing because, you know, there aren't too many veterans playing in the NFL. But then, you know, you get one player who feels strongly enough about it. And just watching those interviews that I was thinking about directly after he did that, he went on, you know, in an interview and he apologized. Which kind of seems shocking, you know, to a lot of people. Imagine this guy who served our country, and then coming back and you know, having to apologize for standing for the national anthem and serving the flag that he, you know, put his life on the line to protect and everything. So yeah, it is a hot topic, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think with any protest, because, you know, we've seen so many protests, marches, whatever they may be, we see. Stuff going on. I think the first question we need to ask is, what is their motive? You know, is it warranted? Is it a protest people should be doing, or is it trendy? You know, or is it something that people, you know, they see other people doing it, they see people getting fame or becoming famous or becoming infamous, you know, for their protests, and people want that spotlight. Is it because Donald Trump said, don't do this, so now more people want to do it?
Right.
Or is it something that, you know, they actually believe in? This is something that players, for example, do they just believe in this on Sundays, or do they believe it all throughout the week, whatever it may be? So my personal views is that I believe there is a reason to protest. And so I believe protest is warranted. However, it is our instinct, whatever it may be. Whatever you're rooting for, whoever you know, you're cheering for, you want to be on their side no matter what they do. And I see that, you know, with lots of people. We see that with you know, our family, you know, all the time. You know, my brother could do something stupid, but I still have his back, you know, because he's my brother. But then, you know, behind closed doors, maybe I should be like, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't have done that, whatever it may be. The point being, it's our instinct to agree with someone. If we agree with someone's cause, we automatically agree with someone's tactics in the way they go about something. So when I think about this, and this is unique in some ways because it's not, you know, a protest of goods. It's not a protest, you know, of buses or, you know, sit-ins. It's a symbol. You know, they're protesting a symbol in some ways because of, I guess, white privilege or police brutality would be the general consensus there.
Yeah. Or? So when it started out, Colin Kaepernick had protested the national anthem due to the police brutality and the murder of unarmed black men, and in a justice system that isn't justice. It's very unjustly. And so his protest is to, you know, kneel during the national anthem, which is not a disrespect to any veterans whatsoever. It's if you're saying the lyrics and you have you pull up the lyrics of the national anthem, it's something that speaks equality and injustice for all. But we live in a country where there is no justice, and we live in an injustice system where it's okay for a police officer to murder a black man and just walk away with a slap on the wrist.
Right.
So has it lost its meaning? yes, I do believe it has lost its meaning because of the fact that Trump said what he said that had caused the whole ruckus, and that kind of made it relevant again. But however, and this is where we go when we talk about the closed-minded, a lot of individuals who become blatantly disrespectful and they let their racism show because of an individual that's making a silent protest. A lot of individuals think that it's a disrespect, and a lot of people are thinking that it has something to do with the military. It has absolutely nothing to do with the military. It is something where they are protesting a song that talks about equality and justice when we live in a country that's not. And I feel as though, and I you definitely hit the nail on the head right there where you had said, you know, make sure there's substance to whatever it is that, you know, you are protesting. And I don't think that there are people that are, you know, have lost their vision and are doing it just to get a rise. But however, Colin Kaepernick, I believe he was doing it with a purpose and he was doing it for a reason. And all this talk and everything that is going on and the things that are dividing us, I don't think it's for the right reason. I think a lot of people are missing the main point where we're living in a country where there's injustice in the system.
Right.
We're living in a country where unarmed African-American males are being murdered by police. You know, we're living in a country where police themselves is considered a gang. And is that my personal viewpoint about the police being a gang? No. But however, this is something that has been talked about. This is something that police themselves have said. This is something that police themselves is like, they're just another gang, you know? And so I definitely feel as though that we live in a scary time. We're living in a country where we are divided as a people,
right,
when that shouldn't be the case whatsoever. And we're losing a lot of vision, and we're losing a lot of substance to things.
I agree. Yeah, and kind of going back to what we were talking about, finding a way to, or looking for hope and in unity throughout all of this, you know, segregation of beliefs. It was just a phrase used by Martin Luther King Jr. when he was talking, I believe it was in response to the civil disobedience of and the march that Rosa Parks help instigate and start in 1955, is when he says, first of all, this is all we have in our hands is the weapon of protest. Okay, so you know, none of these NFL players are hurting each other or hurting other people.
Right.
So as he's talking about this, and as he continues to talk about democracy, he uses the phrase "the glory of America with all of its faults." So even this person that, you know, did so much for the civil rights movement, and somebody who was a constant victim of injustice,
yes,
and of these things, he was able to look at America and say, in all its glory, which I kind of feel like is one, he's giving honor to America and to that flag. And, you know, he was able to honor this country that has given him much while still recognizing those flaws, right? So it's not wrong to protest, but I believe, and it's just my thought, to kneel in rejection to that banner that gives them that right to protest is wrong in some ways. And if I were in their shoes, I would stand for that flag because I know that flag is not a mistake, and under that, and it's under the American flag where we're going to see these changes. So,
but are there going to be changes? Do you see changes though?
I don't. But then when I look at media now, when I look at the news now, people aren't talking about police brutality. People are just talking about kneeling. You know, and it kind of feels like it's become isolated in its own thing. Like, do I have a right to kneel, as opposed to have a right to, you know, not be shot by a cop when I'm, you know, defenseless? And it just feels like it's become so two separated issues almost. Because, and that could be Trump's fault, that could be the media's fault, of making it, turning it into something. And instead of talking about police brutality, we're talking about veterans, and we're talking about, the flag, right. The flag itself. So yeah, of course, there should be an outcry. There should be, people, terribly, terribly upset about this, and there needs to be protest. But when it creates more segregation, it's hard to, put your finger on it. It's hard to find how are you supposed to solve this problem, and how are we supposed to look for this? And it seems like the heart of America truly is changing. And we look at that with, increased mass shootings. We look at, more terrorism. We look at more segregation. And, it's heartbreaking. And when we look at tragedies like police brutality, like Las Vegas, one of two things could happen. And that's either people coming together or people dividing. Mm. And more, we see blue versus black, white versus black, Christians versus Muslims, Americans versus immigrants, gun owners versus anti-guns, and all these things.
Right.
So these lines are becoming clearer and clearer and pushing people more and more apart, where I believe the only line that should be more clear is the one between good and evil. And this word evil is something that's been pushed around a lot recently because of Las Vegas, because of police brutality. And it's something that Trump uses, it's something that the spokeswoman used, is this word evil. Mm. And, we try to dissect why do these things happen? Are police scared? Are they in a heightened sense of awareness or nervousness? Maybe. And why do shootings happen? Stephen Paddock, what started this? So we look at it. Was it psychological? Was it societal? But the word evil it is a biblical word. So we're able to talk about the problem. We always talk about this problem, evil. Mm. But we never talk about it, solutions, because we're afraid to call it what it really is. And I just believe that's sin and the heart of man kind of, being shifted into this kind of thing. And a president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, he had a good quote in The Economist, actually, talking about this increase, look of evil and how politicians are using this word. And he says, it is both telling and reassuring that secular people faced with moral horror, as seen in Las Vegas, can speak of evil as a moral fact, even if they continue to deny moral facts in the classroom and in the courtrooms. So these impulses that Stephen Paddock had, or these, quick impulses that police officers have, or anybody committing these crimes, are they influenced through racial prejudice? Are they influenced because Trump was elected, or because a new law was passed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so. I think it's something that we're all born with, and that's evil inside of us, and that's sin that we all have within us, anyways.
Wow. Yeah. That's you hit the nail on the head right there. I feel as though that, the media and social media is definitely making things a lot worse than what it is. It's definitely, causing a huge division. And, you're absolutely right. We're going to call it what it is. Sin. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it what it is. It's evil. And then this is what we have to, as a people, try to overcome.
Right.
We need to overcome, and it's really tough. It's really tough.
The hardest thing. Yeah.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It is the hardest thing, and a lot of individuals, they become uncomfortable when truth is being spoken, and that's where the saying, we learn best in uncomfortable situations.
Oh, yeah.
We learn best in uncomfortable situations, and a lot of people, they immediately get defensive if there's truth to be spoken.
Yeah. I like how you tie that in. That's brings us full circle there.
Exactly. Because there was a class that I taught, and by me being a director of multicultural student services, I do diversity trainings, and I did a diversity training, and this is the one thing I kept saying. We learn best in uncomfortable situations. And diversity even though that this is a strong push and a lot of institutions and jobs and different things such as that, it has an ugly side to it. And that ugly side is all the isms that we face, you know, whether it's, you know, racism, whether it's colorism, whether it's, you know, prejudice, stereotypes, those different things that, you know, we face, those preconceived notions that a lot of individuals have is the ugly side of it. So when I get to talk about that, you know, a lot of people felt uncomfortable about the ugly side. And I got a lot of slack and a lot of people kind of talked about me a lot behind my back because they were uncomfortable, but didn't really realize the fact that I continuously said we learn best in uncomfortable situations. Our mind is like a parachute and it learns best when it's open. There are individuals because of, you know, the way they were developed, the way they were taught, and all the distractions that are going on with social media and the media and the issues and the protest and mass shootings and the different things that are going on, they allow that their mind to close and not learn from the situation. Yeah. So I feel as though that with a lot of these things that are happening, minus the mass shooting, because I mean that right there is just
inexplicable. Yeah.
Exactly. That right there. It is exactly. You hit the nail on the head. What it is, but the thing is okay. Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. What are we going to gain from this, and what change can it bring? You know, I honestly think that can make things better. Instead of people literally just going off the cusp of what they think it is, their views, and then just completely just downgrading whatever the situation is or whatever the protest is or whatever, anything that's going on,
right.
You know? I mean, just to think of like the protest, I feel as though that individuals do not need to be called out of their names and racial slurs thrown at them because they stand for something or because they didn't stand for something.
Right.
You know, let the individuals have that mindset. Okay, why are they doing that? Where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. What's the ground root of it, and what change is it going to bring?
And something that... Yeah, that's spot on too. People don't realize is having an open mind takes work. You have to work for it, and maybe that means stop getting your news from Twitter, you know, and start doing some research, you know,
right.
Looking at stuff. Like I remember walking through Pittsburgh once, and a guy was standing on a street corner, and he was talking about immigrants. He was talking about, you know, they don't belong here, they're criminals, they're rapists. And he was talking about South Americans, Mexicans. And if this man had read any South American literature, he would know that they're the most romantic people, you know, and just some of the most beautiful works. And so if somebody who's able to read that or, you know, Pablo Neruda and look at the romance and the way he looks at love, it's impossible to say a whole group of people, you know, are able to, you know, sexualize anything or, you know, or be considered, you know, rapists in any ways. And I think, yeah, just people feeling threatened in some ways when they see somebody different than them, being smarter than them, that's scary for them. And they just have to, you know, accept that and then, you know, just get your news from somewhere else other than Instagram or Tumblr or wherever, yeah. And actually credible, you know, sources.
Exactly. And it's funny because I just thought about this saying, one bad apple does not spoil the entire bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Please stop categorizing everybody because of something someone else did.
Right.
You know, if John stole, you know, and John is for instance, an African-American male. Mm-hmm. John is an African-American male, and he stole from your store. Not all African-Americans steal. If, you know, Leslie is strictly, you know, grounded in her Islam faith, she's not a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because of the simple fact that a few individuals did a bad thing does not set the tone for the entire race or the entire religion or the entire whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so definitely just keep that in mind. Keep Absolutely. That in mind. Yeah. And one of the hardest things for us as people to do is to start something. Mm-hmm. I think honestly that is the hardest thing. I always said that because I think about that even when I work out. Like the hardest thing is to actually get up and go.
Oh yeah, once you get there, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. then, you know, once you get there, that's it. And it takes 21 days to create a habit. Mm-hmm. Once you have that in your mind, like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Do it. And if you do it, stay consistent with it. And then one of the things I always say, you know, a vision is amazing, but a vision without action is just an illusion. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
Give it a shot. Yeah. You really don't know what kind of change or what type of positivity or what life you can save if you just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just do it. Les Brown said, the richest place in the world is the graveyard. The richest place in the world is the graveyard because there's so many ideas and so many aspirations and so many things individuals thought about mm-hmm. but didn't do it.
Yeah.
But didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I really feel as though that this world can be such a better place if we just find the goodness in other individuals.
Amen, yeah.
You know, That's find right. the goodness.
And a great way to implement that, we were talking about solutions, mm-hmm. is 21 days. So every day, try to reach out to one person, you know, right. somebody different than you. Ask them how they're doing, ask them how their day is going. Ask them about their struggles. You know, if you feel comfortable, get deep with them. Talk about, you know, what is it like being, you know, your religion or your ethnicity here in this place? Because we both, you know, you and this person could be going to RMU.
Right.
And you feel like you have the same exact life as the same classes. You know, you're in the same, you're both in Western PA, but completely different circumstances. So, you know, different hobbies, yeah, different skin color, yeah, just different views on anything. If you spend 21 days just, you know, going out of your way like that, I feel like that's a great way, you know, to begin these conversations and to begin seeing some of that action.
Exactly. You know, we're like a hand. You have your each individual fingers that do different things, but if it comes together, it creates a fist, and that fist can pack a mighty punch.
Right.
You don't know the power that we can have if we just are together. Mm-hmm. You don't know the power or the change or the things that we can do, the impact that we can bring if we just stay together. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many things that are dividing us. They're dividing us for a reason because of the simple fact that that evil spirit out there knows the power of unity. Mm-hmm. That evil thing that is out there knows the power of unity.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes.
So that's exactly, that. It's a battle. Mm-hmm. It is a battle, and that's exactly why there are so many things that are dividing us. There's so many things that are like literally like tearing us apart because of the simple fact of the power. It knows the power that we can bring mm-hmm. if we are together.
Right. I think that's one reason why we see so much internal division and struggle in churches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if we want to reach the world, we're going to have to stop, you know, all this division exactly. within, which is a good point like that.
Exactly. Exactly. So is there any events or anything that are going on campus at Chi Alpha?
So we meet every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, okay. Up at the chapel. Tomorrow is a little special of an event. So we usually have some snacks, games, worship, and then a speaker. But this week we're having a guest, a guest band come in from Beaver.
Nice.
And, we're just going to have a long night of live music and worship. So it's a great place right in the middle of the week. You know, if you're feeling stressed out, just come up there for an hour. We're, just gonna, you know, hang back, you have some food, play some games, and then just listen to music, you know, worship. You know, we go off into our own corners, we sing songs together, and, any culture will tell you, you know, singing songs together, that's something that just brings people together.
Exactly.
And, you know, it just feels good like that. Something else we got coming up, I believe November 4th, we don't have the date exactly set, a Robert Morris graduate is going to be hosting a Strength Finders test and seminar.
Mm.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Strength Finders, it is a program developed by Gallup, kind of like a personality test, but it gives you five of your top strengths. So you could be a maximizer, you could be somebody who loves input, who just loves knowledge. And so there's all these things, and it compiles a list for you. And it says, how can you work on your strengths? Because so many times, you know, people like try to reach down into their weaknesses. And of course, you know, you're always going to be working on yourself. Mm. But it just helps you capitalize on things you're good at, you know, what your calling is. And it, you know, doesn't really compel you to turn yourself into somebody you're not. But you're born a special person, you have this special identity, and then how can we affect the world with who we are the most? So that's cool. I believe it'll be November 4th. There'll be posters up as soon as we solidify a date there. But yep, so that's pretty much it. Every Wednesday night, November, we have some events coming up. Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, though.
Nice, nice. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you support Chi Alpha. Make sure you go, you know, be with them, and that's your safe place. And it doesn't matter what it is that you believe in and who you are as an individual. All are welcome. So don't think that because this is mainly majority Christian, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so don't think that because it's majority Christian that they're trying to try to convert you or anything like that. So all are welcome.
We've been getting a great turnout of many faiths.
That's great. Yeah, so no matter what your faith base is, please, by all means, definitely go. I'm the type of person where I don't believe in religion. I believe in relation. You have a relation with your creator. You have a relation with the individuals, with many individuals, and that's just the thing. So by all means, definitely go check it out. So, as I always do, I open it up with a little word of encouragement, and then I have my guests close with a word of encouragement before I go into the song of the week. So do you have anything that you would like to tell my people?
So we've been talking about the news. We've been talking about protests and evil, and we always want to focus on that evil. We hear a story, and we say, man, that was terrible. That was bad. One of my favorite authors, G.K. Chesterton, he has some of my favorite quotes. And one of them that really stuck out to me that's been on my heart as I look at this darkness is that he says, fairy tales don't teach children that monsters exist. Mm. They already know that monsters exist. Fairy tales teach children that monsters can be killed. So it just kind of pumps you up, lets you know that there's heroes out there. There's people out there willing to take a stand. There's people out there who are ready to go against that darkness.
There it is. There it is, everybody. And I want to send out a challenge for you this week, man. Make sure that you, and I challenge you to amaze someone, inspire someone, and encourage someone. So with that being said, we're going to have our song of the week. Our song of our week is J. Cole's Crooked Smile. And I know we were talking about all this evil and everything. Crooked Smile is made, you know, to find the inner beauty in a woman. But granted, even though it's mainly about women, find the inner beauty within yourself. Find the inner beauty in other individuals. Alrighty? So, because behind that persona, there is someone hurting or someone happy. But find the good and find the beauty in everyone. Have a good week, everybody.
Tell me I should fix my grill, cause I got money now. I ain't gon' sit around in front like I ain't thought about it. A perfect smile is more appealing, but it's funny how this crooked, look at how far I done got without it. I keep my twisted grill just to show the kids it's real. We ain't picture perfect, but we worth the picture still. I got smart, I got rich, and I got still. And they all look like my eyebrows, thick as hell. Love yourself, girl, or nobody will. Though you a woman, I don't know how you deal with all the pressure to look impressive and go out in heels. I feel for you, killing yourself to find a man that'll kill for you. You wake up, put makeup on, stare in the mirror, but it's clear that you can't face what's wrong. No need to fix what God already put his paintbrush on. Your roommate yelling, why you gotta take so long? What it's like to have a crooked smile.
I'm away, I'm away, I'm away down. I'm away, I'm away, I'm away down.
This crooked smile.
One that was trying to keep me way down. But like the sun, no, you know I'm on my way back.
To all the women. dealing with the flaws, know it's hard, my darling. You wonder why you're lonely and your man's not calling. You keep falling victim cause you're insecure. And when I tell you that you're beautiful, you can't be sure. Cause he don't seem to want you back and it's got you asking. So all you see is what you lack and not what you packing. Take it from a man that loves what you got. The baby girl, you a star, don't let him tell you you're not. Now is it real? Eyebrows, fingernails, hair, is it real? If it's not, girl, you don't care. Cause what's real is something that the eyes can't see, that the hands can't touch, that them bras can't be. And that's you. Never let them see your friend. And if you need a friend to pick you up, I'll be around. And we can ride with the windows down, the music loud. I can tell you ain't laughed in a while, but I wanna see that creepy smile.
I'm away, I'm away, I'm away down. I'm away, I'm away.
Crooked smile, wicked style on them.
You were the one that was trying to keep me way down. But like the sun, no, you know I'm from my way back.
We don't look nothing like the people on the screen. You know the movie stars, picture perfect beauty queens. But we got dreams and we got the right to chase them. Look at the nation, that's a crooked smile. Braces couldn't even straighten. Seem like half the race is either on probation or in jail. Wonder why we inhale, cause we inhale already. I ask if my skin pale, would I then sell like Eminem or Adele? Well, one more time for the veil, and fuck all of that beef, let's make a meal. Hey officer, man, we don't want nobody getting killed. Just open up that cell, let my brother out of jail. I got money for the bill now, and well now. If you asking, will I tell now? Hey, hell nah, I ain't snitching cuz man, they get up stitches now. If you was around and you wouldn't need a witness now, how you like this crooked smile?
I'm away, I'm away, I'm away down. I'm away, I'm away, I'm away down.
That crooked smile.
You were the one that was trying to keep me way down. But like the sun, now you know I'm coming way back round.
Crooked smile, wicked style on them. Crooked smile, wicked style on them.
You were the one that was trying to keep me way down. But like the sun, now you know I'm coming way back round.